תזכו לשנים רבות נעימות וטובות, קהל קדוש ברשות מערת הרב סעיד ישמרהו האל. It's great to be here again in Mexico City in this magnificent synagogue, very unique, very special. I came here specifically to celebrate with all of you the printing of a new sefer, a new book that, God willing, after the shiur will present to all of you at no charge. The only price we ask is that you read the book and that you enjoy it and you benefit. This is a book that explains the Amidah. The Amidah is something that most of us do three times a day. So do the math. We do it about 20 times a week, 80 times a month, 800 times a year. So this is something that we might do about 50,000 times in our life. When somebody does something for 50,000 times, you hope that he understands what he's doing. So we wrote a book, and my good friend Zuri Atiyah helped sponsor the translation into Spanish so you could enjoy it. And I think it'll make a big difference in your prayers. After all, we want God to answer our tefillot, but you have to understand what you're telling Him. So this book will actually make your prayers more concentration, more understanding, and with a little more taste. So congratulations, and enjoy the book. Rabotai, I came tonight to say a big chiddush. Do you know that in less than a month from now, we're going to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Many reasons have been given why we blow the shofar. Actually, the Geonim bring 10 reasons why we blow shofar. The main reason, of course, is because Gezerat HaKatuv, the Pasuk says, to blow the shofar. That's the main reason. God says to blow the shofar, we don't need any other reasons. However, if you look in the Torah says Yom Teruah. Rosh Hashanah is called the Day of Teruah. Only problem is we don't know what Teruah is. What is Teruah? So we have to go to the Aramaic translation of the word Teruah. And the Aramaic translation of Teruah is Yom Yibaba. Okay, now we have another problem. I don't know what Yibaba is. So you explain one word with a different word that I don't understand. But all I know is that Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Yibaba. Maze Yibaba. So I have to go into the Tanakh and search for what this word Yibaba means. And once I figure it out, then I know what Teruah is. And once I know what Teruah is, I know what Shofar is. So let me remind you of a story in the book of Judges. It's an incredible story. There was an anti-Semite, a terrible guy. He was called Sisera. Sisera was a tyrant. He had 900 chariots. In those days, that was a lot. Nobody could beat him. And he waged war against the Jewish people. At the time, the leader of the Jewish people was a woman. You see, in those days, they had equality. The leader at the time was called Devorah. Devorah, the Shofetet. And she decided that we have to wage war against Sisera. And he came with his 900 chariots. And Hashem made a miracle. The ground started to become boiling hot. So the feet of the horses became burning. So they started to run to the water because they were hot. So when they got to the water, Hashem took the water and drowned them. Just like Paro. The same story that happened in the times of Paro, that was only 600 chariots. This was 900. He had even more chariots than Paro. And they all drowned. Sus v'rochevo rama bayam. Now Sisera, he had to run. He had to escape. So he ran to a lady's house. Another story of a lady. This lady's name was Ya'el. And he came into Ya'el's house. This is the general coming into Tzadikit. Ya'el was a Tzadikit. And he says, please, could you give me something to drink? Some cold water. I'm thirsty from the war. She was very smart. Instead of giving him water, she made him warm milk. And he drank the warm milk and he got tired and he fell asleep. She took the stick from the tent. They call it a stake. She took it and she put it in his head. Threw it right over here, the temple. And she killed Sisera. Sisera is dead. The war is over. Now you know the background of the story. It's the story of an anti-Semitic general and the victory that he fell in the hands of two women, Devorah and Ya'el. Now let's start the story from the Navi. Sisera had a mother. The mother of Sisera was very proud of him. She had a custom. After each war, she would sit by the window. And she would wait for Sisera to come home from the war. And she was proud of him. He would come home with the spoils. He would come home with the money. He would come home with the captives of war. So she would look out the window waiting in order to see her son, the hero. Well, this was no exception. So the Pasuk writes, Be'ad halom nishkefa. Em Sisera. The mother of Sisera was looking out the window. Be'ad ha'eshnab. And then she took out an eshnab. What is eshnab? So the Malbim says she was looking out the window waiting for Sisera to come home. But the problem is he wasn't coming home. We know why. Because he was lying dead in the tent of Ya'el. He would never come home. He was dead. But she didn't know that. So she's looking out the window. And she says, Madua boshesh rechbo lavo. Why is his chariot late? Madua iharu pa'amim markibotav. Why is he delayed? It seems after every war, he would come home the same time. So she knows, once they announce on the radio, the war is over, he comes home an hour after. Here, an hour passed, he doesn't show up. 2 hours, and show up. So she started to get concerned. Where is he? So she's looking at the window. All of a sudden, she takes out an eshnab. Eshnab is a crystal ball. She knew how to read the future in the crystal ball. And she's looking in the crystal ball. And all of a sudden she sees two women in the crystal ball. So she comes along and says, ah, now I know where he is. Racham rachamatayim l'rosh gever. You'll forgive me. But he's probably taking advantage of the Jewish woman. After all, he won the war. So he's probably taking advantage. Raham lahamatayim. He's taking advantage of these Jewish girls. He's involved in immorality. Could you imagine? She's proud of that. That's his mother. Where do you think he came from, Sisera? From a corrupt mother. She's proud that her son is doing this type of perversion. All of a sudden she looks more. She sees red. In the crystal ball, it's red. She says, ah. Shelal Siba'im Nesisera.
Shalal Seba'im Rikma, Seba Rikmatayim Nisavere Shalal.
He's probably taking all the beautiful clothes of the Jewish people, all the red, colorful clothes that the Jewish woman had, all the scarves, all the headdresses, all the different accessories, all the red, beautiful clothing, the picturesque garments. That's where he is. He's taking all this stuff. That's why he's delayed. She puts the crystal ball on the side and she's waiting. No sisera, no parade, no hero, no sign of her son. And all of a sudden the pasuk writes, "Batiyavev em sisera." Batiyavev. Yebaba. What does it mean, Batiyavev? So the Hakamim say she started to cry. She started to cry. And as she's crying, because she doesn't know where her son is, she says, oh, he's probably celebrating in one of those bars over there. You know, he went for a beer. He went to get drunk. Maybe he went out with the boys. They're making a victory party. But she's crying and she's crying. And she said, that doesn't show up. But she's crying and she's continuing and she's sobbing. And finally, we don't know after how long, the mother of Sisera comes to the conclusion that Sisera is dead. And the Navi ends and says, Ken yovdu kol oivecha Hashem. Let all God's enemies be destroyed and perish like Sisera. But at least, now you know the story, but at least we learned a Hebrew word. Add this into your vocabulary. The word vatiyavev means to cry. So therefore the word yebaba means to cry, and therefore tiru'ah is a crying sound. So that's how we learned that when you blow the shofar, you're supposed to blow it in a way that a person cries. Yom tiru'ah, yom yebaba, a day of crying through the shofar. Now the Gemara has a big question. Well, how do people cry? There's another discussion. So the Gemara says basically people cry in three different ways. Some people, they cry like this. Boo, hoo, hoo. So the rabbi said, that's shivarim. So you have to go, too, too, too. That's called ganuhe ganah. That's a long crying. Other people, they cry quickly. That's, we call that tiru'ah. Too, 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 too. Or some do, 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 do. And then the Gemara says, some people do both. They cry like this. That's shivarim tiru'ah. So we do everything. We take insurance. Because we don't know which is the real way to cry. So we cry, Shivarim, Tiru'ah, Shivarim, Tiru'ah. Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, I came tonight to ask you the million-dollar question. The source of where we learn shofar from is from the mother of Sisera, Goya, Marsha'at, wicked woman, the mother of the anti-Semite. Could you find a more inappropriate place to learn the shofar from? The shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, you would think we would learn it from the tzaddikim. Tell me, Rachel Imenu cried, Sarah Imenu cried. No, the source of Yebaba, which is Tiru'ah, is the mother of Sisera. And this bothered me so much. What zichut?
This lady, go ask your rabbi, what's the source of shofar? He's going to tell you, the mother of Sisera. Ask him, how could it be? Such a holy mitzvah of shofar, and the source of yibaba is but the yabib. This question I pondered for a long time. Tonight I'd like to present my final answer. I think it's a very practical lesson. You see, I don't know if they have it in Mexico, but in America we have an organization for alcoholics. Those are people that drink too much. So eventually they need help. They need intervention. And there's an organization that intercedes, and they come to a meeting, and they have to go through 12 steps. These are called the 12 steps to recovery. And it's one step at a time. After they get to step 12, usually they're recovered. And then they graduate. And then hopefully they don't relapse. Now, thank God I was never at a meeting, but unfortunately I know people in the community that were there. So I asked them, what's step one? And they all told me step one is the hardest of all the steps. Step one is you have to say in front of all the people that are there, my name is Mr. Flan Flan. I am an alcoholic. You first have to admit, I am guilty. I am an alcoholic. Then they say, Chazak Baruch, step one, check. Now we can move on. So I said, but it's not so easy. What is he there for? Of course, that's the easiest part. He said, you'd be surprised. It's so difficult for the people to admit that they have a problem. So how does it go? They go around the table. The guy says, what are you doing here? My wife brought me here. Why are you here? I don't know why. I want to make my wife happy. She brought me, I'm here. Do you have a problem? She has a problem. I don't have any problem. Do you drink? Yes, I drink, but it's under control. I have a drink here, a drink there. So why do you stay here? You know something? I don't even know why I'm staying here. I'm coming for one meeting, then I'm going to leave. Next guy, what are you doing here? No idea why I'm here. I have no idea. The third guy, what's your purpose? What are you doing here? Deny it. I have no problems. I don't know. I came to help the other people. Until you get maybe 1 out of 20 to say, I'm guilty. They say, you're guilty? Baruch haba, you're the guy we could deal with. You we could help. The other 10 guys that are still giving excuses, when you finally come to reality and you're willing to take responsibility for your actions, then we'll help you. So it seems that that's human nature. It's difficult for human beings to admit that they have a problem. It's difficult for people to admit that they're wrong and that they're guilty. Say it very simple. It's hard for people to take responsibility for their actions. If that happens to you sometimes, you're normal. The nature of human beings is to blame others. See, we point. The reason why I have a problem, it's my parents' fault. The way they raised me, it's my teacher's fault in the school, it's the society's fault. Everybody's doing it. Human beings are very protective of themselves. So the brain wants to protect the person from being hurt. And when a person comes along and says, Hatati, it's crushing. It's crushing. So the brain creates all sorts of manipulations and all sorts of excuses to defend the person so we shouldn't have to admit, I am wrong. I am guilty. We call that excuses. Human beings are experts at shifting the blame. Well, I'll give you a simple example. You know this example from Tanakh. But I have two other examples that are tremendous. This is an easy one. I'm only bringing you this example because I'm showing you, even if you're a great man, it's not easy to admit. There was a king called Shaul, Shaul HaMelech. So the prophet Shemuel told Shaul, go to war, I want you to kill all Amalek, men, women, and children, and the animals, everything. Shaul goes, he kills the men, the women, and the children, but he brings back the animals. Shemuel HaNabi sees the animals, he hears the animals. He tells him, Umeh kol hatzon. What is this son? I hear the sheep. Umeh, I hear the baying of the sheep. So Shaul says, what do you mean? I brought them from Amalek. We're going to bring korbanot to God. So Shemuel tells him, what do you mean korbanot? I told you to kill the animals. No, I fulfilled the word of God. I'll say again, the animals were supposed to die. You're rebellious. I listened to the people. They wanted to bring it. Excuses and excuses. And finally, after the third time, what does Shaul say? Hatati. Shemuel says, too late. You're fired. Look how long it took Shaul to say Hatati. It's not easy. It's not easy to admit that you were wrong, that you made a mistake. By the way, David HaMelech also made a mistake in his life. The prophet came to him and said, David, you have a problem with this lady called Bathsheba. What's the first word David says? Hatati. What does the prophet tell him? Vesar avoncha v'hatatcha techupar. You're forgiven. I'm not fired? No, you're not fired. But you fired Shaul because it took him time. You said Hatati right away. Umodeh ve'ozev yiruham. So learn a lesson. Those that are able to confess and admit, they move on. Those that live in fantasy world, in a denial, and they just come along and live a life of a lie. So they only get themselves in deeper trouble. And they only lose status. Now let's go to the Chumash. Let's go to the Chumash, page 1. Cain kills Hevel. Now there's only 4 people in the world. Adam, Hava, Cain, and Hevel. So this was the greatest homicide in history. Per capita. Meaning, he killed one person, but that's 1/4 of the world population. A terrible crime. He killed his brother in cold blood. So what happens? God comes to heaven. God comes to Cain. Vayomer Hashem el Cain. Ahazak baruch. Ehevel achicha. Where's your brother? Everybody knows the answer. Vayomer lo yadati. I don't know. Fantastic. Fantastic. Hashomer ahi anochi? Am I my brother's keeper? That's the way we always learned it in school. Why are you asking me? Am I his babysitter? He's my younger brother, but I'm not his babysitter. I don't know where he is. Hashomer ahi anochi? What are you asking me for? He's somewhere. I don't know where he is. That's the way we learned it in school. Until recently, I started to open up the books. The Midrash brings the following mashal to explain Cain's answer. There was one time a thief, Ganav. He broke into a neighborhood. This neighborhood had a guard in front of the neighborhood. A security guard. He broke through the neighborhood. He broke into the house and he got caught. So they brought the Ganav to the court. So they asked the Ganav, what do you have to say for yourself? So he said, it's not my fault. Listen, I'm a Ganav. I was doing my job. That's what I do. I steal. It's the security guard's fault. He didn't do his job. What are you blaming me for? If the security job would have did his job, I couldn't have done my job. He's to blame. That's what the Midrash writes. That the Ganav blames the security guard. Rabotai, listen to what happened over here. You know what Cain was supposed to tell God when God said, where is your brother? Cain should have said one word. Hatati. You know what would have happened? God would have said, beautiful answer. That's the right answer. Hatati, we'll deal with you. Instead, Cain has to blame somebody. But he's not going to blame himself. Now he has a problem. Because if he's not going to blame himself, you see, I can blame 15 billion people in the world today for my problems. I have 15 billion people to blame. Cain, well, he doesn't want to blame himself. You can't blame Hevel because he's dead. And he can't blame his parents because they have their own problems. They just got kicked out of Gan Eden for eating from the tree. So they're dealing with their own thing. So who's left? There's only one person. There's only one entity left. There's no Cain, there's no Hevel, there's no Adam, there's no Chava. So you know whose fault it must be? Cain comes and says to God, Hashomer Ahi, you know whose fault it is? God, you're the Shomer. You're the security guard of the world. You didn't do your job. Hashomer Ahi, you know who the protector my brother is? Anochi, Anochi Hashem Elohecha. What do you want from me? Brothers fight. You're the referee. You didn't do your job. If Hevel got killed, it's your fault. Hashomer Ahi, the protector of my brother, is Anochi. It's Anochi Hashem. It's you. Could you imagine that? That a person will go to such extremes to defend himself from admitting guilt that he'll even go to the extent to blame God. You know, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, if you look at the Ten Commandments, there's five on one side and five on the other side. I know that you read them going down. You read them vertical. But do me a favor for a second. Read the Aser HaDibarot horizontal. What's the first Aser HaDibarot on the right side? Anochi. Go horizontal. What does it say on the left side? Lo Tirtzach. The Torah is hinting that the first Lo Tirtzach was blamed to Anochi. Anochi lo tirtzach. The first murder in history, God says, they blamed me for it. They couldn't admit guilt. Well, I have a theory. I know this is not a parenting class. Maybe we should come back and give a parenting class one day. But the theory is that children... Listen, children learn their bad behavior from one of two places. Either they learn it on the school bus, or they learn it from their parents. Adam Arishon eats from the tree. It's Adam and Hava and God and the snake. That's it. So God comes to Adam Arishon and he tells him, Did you eat from the tree? You know what Adam was supposed to say? Hatati. I ate. And then it would have went away. I mean, it wouldn't have went away, but it would have went away quicker. He should have said, I am an alcoholic. Well, step one, finish. Let's move up to step two. Instead, Vayomer Adam, Ha'isha asher natata imadi. Classic. Blames it on his wife. It's my wife's fault. Aisha shenatatali. So who does he blame here? He actually blames two people. Aisha shenatatali. That you gave me. So Adam Arishon, incredible. He was able to shift the blame over here two ways. He said, listen, the ladies gave me from the apple, whatever you want, etrog, to eat. So it's her fault. And by the way, who gave me the lady? Ashenatatali. So I don't know what you want from me. You have to deal with the Isha. This is your issue. This is not my issue. So it seems this was hereditary. Cain learned it from Adam, his father. But listen to what God tells Adam. You know something? I'm reading this parasha for 50 years, and I just noticed this. When God tells Adam about his punishment, so it says, "Ul Adam amar." So God says to Adam, "Ki shamata lekol ishtecha," because you listened to your wife. Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha, you're going to be cursed. Is that why he's cursed? I thought he's cursed because he ate from the tree. If I was writing this pasuk, I would say, Uladam amar, biglal sha'achalta arura. But it doesn't say that. It says, ki shamata lekol ishtecha. That wasn't the sin. The sin wasn't that he listened to his wife. The sin was that he ate. You know what the explanation is? God said, because you blamed your wife, now you're going to get punished. If you would have owned it, and you would have had the responsibility to say that it was you, you wouldn't have been cursed. That's the biggest sin. To me, this is incredible. The sin of eating is big, but the biggest sin, God says, is that you pointed fingers. That's why you're going to get punished. You know, the Navi says, Hineni nishpat otach al omrech lo hatati. God says through the prophet, you know why I judge you? Not because you sin. I punish you because when I confronted you, you know what your reaction was? Lo hatati. I did not sin. God says, that gets me angry. Imagine a person making vidui. Lo hatati, לא עביתי, לא פשעתי, לא גנבתי, לא גזלתי, לא דיברתי טוב בלשון הרע. He adds a law before each one. By the way, that's most people. When they make the vidui, they're saying, I didn't do any of these things. They're looking at the guy next to them. This guy, I'm making the vidui for him. And even if they did it, they answer it up. Everybody's doing it. It's the problem of our generation. People eat not kosher. Say, well, we know the Torah says it, but that's the custom. Everybody does it. All my friends do it. So therefore, they think that that's going to be an answer. Instead of saying, I'm wrong. I'm an alcoholic. I don't have to go through the whole Torah. You know the 613 mitzvot. I didn't come over here to Shabbat, Sinai. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Everybody knows what the list is. But most people live in the world of Lo Hatati. And they have a long list of who's to blame for all their inadequacies, for all their deficiencies. There's a word in the Hebrew language. This word usually introduces an excuse. Anytime you want to give an excuse in Hebrew, you'll always use this word first. The word is aval. Aval is but or however. I used it all the time when I was in school. When the teacher would ask me, did you do your homework? Well, I can't deny it because he's going to check it. So I say, dear teacher, I did not do my homework. Aval. You know, the dog ate it or whatever excuse that we used to give. I lost it. My sister ripped it up. Yeah, whatever the excuse was. So whenever you hear the word aval, you know that a person is trying to escape. So I have a big question. I looked in the Sidur, and I see that in the Anna that we make, we say, Anna Adonai Eloheinu v'lei Avoteinu, tavo lefanecha tefilatenu, she'en anachnu azefanim. God, we're not brazen people. We're not going to come and say tzaddikim. We're not tzaddikim. We're not going to say we didn't sin. Aval. However. Now, I wouldn't have put that word in the vidui. I would have said, but aval sounds like we're trying to get out of it. But you know, we're trying to rationalize it. To me, the worst word you could put in the vidui is aval. But it's there. So I did an experiment. I went into the Tanakh to look for this word, aval. To see if it has another meaning. I found it. Let's do a story. You remember the brothers sold Yosef? So they had a bet din, 9 rabbis, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, all the Shevatim. They sat down and they said, Yosef is guilty. He's wrong. He deserves to be punished. They said, let's take a vote. They all raised their hands, unanimous. They had the gavel. They bang on the teva, guilty. They write on the paper, Yosef, hayav. They take Yosef, they throw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions. Eventually, they sell him. After they sold them, they were so proud of what they did, because they thought it was the right thing. They sat down and had a seudah, the Hayim. What are you celebrating? We got rid of a bad man. You know, anytime you get rid of evil, it's a good thing. So they made seudat mitzvah. They were so confident that they were right. Now I want to ask you a question. Did the Shevatim have Yom Kippur? They did. They kept the whole Torah. So that means every Yom Kippur, like us, they came and they started to analyze their ways. And they said, did we make any Averot this year? No. Did we make any Averot in our life? For 22 years, Yom Kippur came and went, and they felt what they did with Yosef was right. Imagine that. They lived for 22 years thinking that that crime that they committed was justified. Now they go down to Egypt to get food. They don't know that Yosef is the king. Now all of a sudden things are going difficult. All of a sudden the king says, "You're spies, beragirim atem." They take Shimon, they put him in jail. Now all of a sudden they realize the king says, "You have another brother, don't you? Bring that brother down over here. Otherwise, you have a lot of problems." They say, "Please, we can't bring him. Our father will not let. He's a young boy. Bring him down." Now the brothers start to say, "Why is this happening to us?" You know, the tzaddikim, when bad things happen, they start to say, "What did we do wrong?" People come to me all day long. "Hakam, I lost money in the stock market. Bar minan, somebody's sick. Lo alenu, I'm having a problem like this. Maybe I'm making certain averot. Could you help me?" When things go wrong in a person's life, they try to correct something. So when the brothers saw this bad luck, "Why is this happening?" You know what they said? Vayomeru ish el ahiv. They turned to each other and they made the following declaration. Aval ashemim anachnu. Aval, we are guilty for selling our brother. That's why this is happening to us. 22 years later, they finally came to the reality that they made a mistake. Over there, if you look at the word aval, look at the Targum. Targum explains aval bekushta. You know what bekushta means? Be'emet. In English we say indeed. Which means they were saying aval, not but. Aval means yes indeed. We are wrong. That's the real meaning of aval in the vidui. In vidui we come along and say, no more excuses. There's nobody to blame. The former president of the United States was Harry S. Truman. He said, the buck stops here. Which means, I am responsible. I must bear the brunt of my actions. I must carry the weight of my deeds. So we say in the vidui, I am not going to stand in front of you, God, and say, lo hatanu, aval, but yes indeed. Hatanu, aval, yes indeed. Rashanu. God says, I love what I'm hearing. Cain blamed me. Adam blamed his wife. Shaul didn't want to confess. Everybody's pointing fingers at somebody else. And here the Jew comes along and says, it's me. Rabotai, I now want to go back to the mother of Sisera. I'm not a psychologist, but I have a good idea of what the mother of Sisera was doing by that window on that day. She knew that her son had come back from 100 wars. And he always came back at the same time. He never was late. She had that custom to look out the window. She took out a crystal ball. The Ishnab, she sees woman. She sees red. And you know what the mother of Sisera started to do? She started to give excuses. He's probably here. He's probably there. He's probably drinking. He's probably with the Jewish woman. He's probably splitting the spoils. You know why she was giving excuses? Because she didn't want to come to the reality that her son was dead. She couldn't come to the truth. So when a person doesn't want to come to the truth and the reality, you start pointing. The mother of Sisera is a classic example of somebody that's in denial. Somebody that it's too painful to come to the truth. If she was honest when she looked in the crystal ball and she saw red, what's the first thing when you see red, what do you think of? Blood. She should have said, that's the blood of my son. Somebody must have murdered him. But her denial caused her to think, oh, it's red clothes. He's probably taking red clothes and scarves. When he saw the two women, he should have said, wait, there's two Jewish women, Devorah and Ya'el. Instead, he says, no, he's probably pillaging Jewish women. All the signs she read wrong. The mother of Sisera is the classic example of somebody that gives excuses and doesn't want to see the true reality. So the Torah says, you know what the purpose of the shofar is? When you hear the words of the shofar, you hear crying. Teru'ah is yibaba. And you know what you think of when you hear the word yibaba? Vatiyavev, you think of the mother of Sisera. And at that point, you're supposed to say to yourself, no more excuses. Stop pointing fingers. The mother of Sisera is the source of shofar, because the source of the shofar is to come and tell the person, enough is enough. Own up to your actions. Hatati. But you're going to go your whole life and say, I'm a good Jew. I don't do anything wrong. I'm not different than anybody else. And you're going to transgress. And you'll never get to step two of Alcoholic Anonymous. You won't even make it to the rehab. They won't even let you in. So the Torah comes along and says, to understand that shofar, this year when you hear the shofar, when you hear that crying sound, picture the mother of Sisera giving excuses by the window. And at that point you say to yourself, enough, enough. I'm not a two-year-old anymore. I'm not a baby. And the good news is when you start to confess and tell the truth, Aval Ashimim Anachnu, Borei Olam says no problem. The truth will set you free. But it takes a lot of courage to do that. Well, if that's the case, Abotai, you know, this month is called Elul. Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. The rabbis give many hints on what this word Elul stands for. One rabbi said, Ani ledodi vedodi li. I once saw a book of a whole list of Rimazim of what Elul stands for. But tonight, in your honor, I'd like to say a new Hiddush, what Elul stands for. You see, if we had to summarize this class into two words, you know how I would summarize it? It
In Hebrew there's a word, the word is lo, lamed aleph. That's how all human beings start off. No, lo, it wasn't me. Lo, I'm good. Lo hatati. But eventually you have to get to a different word that means it is him. Yes, it is him. Him meaning you. Well, that word is spelled lamed vav. Lo. So basically, the purpose of this month is to try to move yourself from lo with an aleph, that it's not me, to lo with a vav, that it is me. Well, that's Elul. The first two letters of Elul is aleph lamed. That's lo. The last two letters of Elul is vav lamed. That's lo, lamed vav. That's the key. To go from saying it's not hatati to saying yes, lo, it is I, it is me, it is him. And as I said, this takes a lot of courage, but this is the greatest escape route. And I will conclude with something that I heard from my rabbis in Yerushalayim. I heard this in 1987 from Rav Chaim Brim. He's Hasid of Yerushalayim. Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. You know, there's a famous mashal that they give about somebody that doesn't make teshuvah during these days. There's a famous mashal, I'm sure you heard it. There was 10 guys in jail. One night, 9 of them dug a hole and escaped. When the warden came in the next day, he sees one guy standing there. He says, "Where's everybody?" So they escaped. "And you, how come you didn't escape?" And he starts to beat him up. So God says, "You had a chance to escape. How come you didn't escape? How come you didn't make teshuvah?" Rav Chaim Brim said, "I don't understand the mashal. You punish the guy who didn't escape? He should get rewarded. The warden should come in and say, 'You're a tzaddik, you didn't escape. All your friends, they ran out of here underground. You stayed.' Why does the warden beat him up?" Rabotai, you know why the 9 inmates escaped? Because they know they're guilty. So they're scared from the judge. So they want to get out of there before they have to go to the judge, because they know they're wrong. You know why the 10th guy stayed? Because you know what he's saying? "I didn't do anything. Lo hatati. Wasn't me." So he has no fear to stand in front of the judge. So the warden says, "You, we have so much proof against you, and you didn't run. The fact that you didn't run, that means you're a chutzpah. You're coming along standing and saying, 'I'm innocent. Lo hatati.' For that you get punished worse." When a person in these days, well, not anybody over here, because you all came to a class, so you're on the right track. I'm talking to whoever didn't show up tonight. In this month, whoever's not involved in perfecting themselves, without saying it, but they're saying it without saying it, they're saying, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. That's why I'm not scared. That's why I'm not changing. That's why I'm not making any more mitzvot. I'm innocent. I'm not afraid of Yom HaDin, because I'm going to stand in front of God and say, lo hatati." So the warden comes along and said, "I gave you Elul to escape and you didn't escape. Chutzpah. Everybody else was smart. They came along and they knew they had problems." And therefore I say tonight, Rabotai, we must go from Lamed Aleph to Lamed Vav. From the denial of "no, it is not I," to come along and say, "no, it is him. It is him, the person himself." And then Be'azrat Hashem, once a person starts to take responsibility and he hears the shofar and he hears the mother of Sisera crying from the window, "Batiyaviv, diyababa," and then he says, "The buck stops here. No more excuses.
No more pointing fingers. And then God Almighty says to all of us, Umodev Ozev, the one that confesses, Yiruham. He delivers and enjoys the measure of mercy. Besar avonchem, and your sins will dissipate. Behatatchem tekupar. The school is shanim nabot.